in our Bible class, we're going to look at some things that are going on in society that have an influence on us, whether we realize it or not. And it will help not only for us to recognize hazards and put up defenses and protect ourselves from the fiery darts of the evil one that he's throwing at us, but it will also help us, I think, when we talk to other people about the gospel and try to get them interested in what God has said and the promise of success and glory that they could have if they would become a follower of Christ. And that's important to us as well. So I raise this question, are you being secularized tonight? My text of the lesson comes from 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. It was written 2,000 years ago almost, but very much pertinent to what's going on today. The Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. It's no surprise to us. We've seen it in our own lives. The longer we're members of the Lord's church, occasionally we see people who fall away. What happens with their faith? They stop hearing God's word. They stop looking in God's word. They stop seeking the strength of faith that comes from looking in God's word. Please do not do that. If you stop looking in God's word, you're leaving the source of faith, and you must have faith to please God and to be saved. But it's no surprise to us that people are negligent with regard to that responsibility, and they will fall away from the faith. And some fall away from the faith specifically by paying attention to the things that Paul is warning Timothy about here. In this case, deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Teachings that don't originate with Christ. They originate with the devil and his angels. It's not good. It's designed to trip us up. They're designed to be presented as counterfeit of the truth. Corruption of the gospel. And it will cause us to fall away from the faith. So notice, some will fall away from the faith. How do they do that? They pay attention to the wrong thing. So if we pay attention to what's going on in the world around us, we will become secularized. What does that mean? To secularize something means to make it worldly or non-spiritual, if you will. It is to deprive something of its spiritual character or its religious nature, its spiritual influence and significance. This is precisely what has happened in America and what continues to happen, as we pointed out in the lesson this morning. The United States was founded upon religious principles. We're all thankful for that. We started out in the right, headed in the right direction, guided in that direction, not perfectly so, but we started out that appreciating biblical principles. But in this modern age, those biblical principles have been swept away from the minds of the occupants of this country and replaced by the depraved principles that come to us that Paul warned Timothy about. Don't you pay attention to these. They're doctrines of demons. They're deceitful spirits. Don't listen to them. Principles of situation ethics, values clarification, as it's called, and general moral emptiness. Many factors have contributed to this, but one of the leading factors, without question, is the dominance of what is set before our faces every day. We've talked recently about handheld media devices. But before those ever came on the scene, there were newspapers, there were magazines, there were things that we saw on the television, things that we went to the movie house or the drive-in theater and saw on the screen. All of those kinds of things. If I mentioned the advertising world, you know that even it would encompass billboards and signs that you see on the side of buses as they pass through metropolitan areas advertising various things. So we're presented with that all of the time. It dominates the media. It did for a long time. Now we get it on our pocket cell phone or our wristwatch. Those kinds of things coming at us. But why am I mentioning that? Nothing has more power for good or for evil than media, if you think about it. You could teach principles of the gospel to anyone in the world by mailing them something, sending them something, a message by way of the internet. Some people use their Facebook accounts to promote spiritual values and to teach anyone who might be friends of theirs or wish to be acquainted with them principles from the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a good thing. But the power for bad is also very bad. And I think we could say, if we were to sum it all up, handheld devices that we get on the internet or magazines or newspapers or whatever, we kind of rake that all into a pile and say, this right here is the most dangerous false teacher in our day. The danger's there. It's not saying that everything is false that comes to us in that way. But because of the danger of it and our susceptibility to it, we are being secularized. What do you mean, Brother Smalley? I mean this. We're becoming indifferent to spiritual values by these influences on us. We're even rejecting biblical truth sometimes because of the force of these things that are coming at us all the time through these means. We're being misled. We're taught something by the advertisements that we watch. We're being taught something. Aren't we being taught something when they show a t-shirt and they say, this t-shirt was washed in Brand X. But you can obviously tell they've got a 40-watt light bulb shining on that shirt. And they come over here and they say, our detergent is far superior than that. They show you a t-shirt and it's lit up with 300-watt light bulb, you know, a floodlight. You can see the obvious difference of how well our detergent cleans. And we catch on to things like that. And we see, okay, there's deception in advertising. There's deception in all kinds of things like that. It's coming at us all the time. You know, this media has contributed to many Christians falling away from the faith. Do you think that's true? Because of the influence of media? Jesus showed how the attitudes of society can affect disciples when he said, as we pointed out in the lesson this morning, because lawlessness is increased, the love of many will grow cold. That warning slaps you in the face when you're reading that from God's book. It's powerful. It's powerful warning. And we look at our society, and do we see any lawlessness in our society? People who don't know the law, or people who know it and reject it. Do we see the results of it? We certainly do. And it makes people's love grow cold. Love for God primarily, but love for one another. Why are people fighting with each other? Why do people want to pick a fight with other people? Is it because they don't love them? They've lost this love? They're living lawless lives, Matthew 24, verse 12? How do we lock out the harmful influence of these kind of things in our lives? As we mentioned this morning, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, watch over your heart with all diligence because out of it are the springs of life. We guard our hearts as God's children. It's not easy. It doesn't happen quickly. It takes diligence. And it takes a determination to control our minds. And the media is throwing stuff at us all the time. And it can get us off track if we pay that much attention to it. It's a powerful factor in the thinking of people, isn't it? You've heard people say things, and you're like, did I hear that right? Where did you get that? Why are you saying that? Why do you believe that way? Well, I read that on the internet. Or I read that in a newspaper. Or I read that in a magazine. Maybe you better go back and read that again. Or maybe you better think about that a little bit more in terms of what God has revealed to us in His Word. It's a powerful force. The media affects our thinking. It shapes our outlook on life. It shapes our relationships with people. It even shapes our relationships with one another in the body of Christ. And if we're not careful, it can get us a little off kilter and we can start mistreating our own brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't ever want to do that. Media is supposed to report the news. They're supposed to tell us the facts about what's happening in the world without bias. Do you think that's happening in our news media today? I'll tell you it's not. And you know it's not. You know they can't report a story in the news where you get all of the facts so that you can properly draw your own conclusions about what's going on, why it's going on, what can we do to prevent the bad things, how can we make things better. You don't get it all. There's a reason you don't get it all. Some of it's being withheld because these media companies have become so gigantically powerful, they've taken it upon themselves to figure out what they want you to believe. And that's the way they're going to present it. That's not shocking to us. It's easier for us to know that today than it was a long time ago because now it's all out in the open. And they don't care if you know it. As we were talking about in the lesson this morning. One way in which the news media contributes to secularism is to report things that undermine the integrity of God's Word. And that's really what we're concerned about. Things happen in the government. We realize that corruption is rampant in every government in this country, and people do things for materialistic reasons and not righteous reasons a lot of times. Okay, that's the government that we live under. But they're reporting things now that are undermining God's Word. And I don't like that. And you don't like that as a Christian. They always seem to find room for reporting somebody's study that says that the Bible's not really what Christians are presenting it as. It's really not the Word of God. For example, when some so-called religious leader is questioned regarding the historical accuracy of the gospel accounts, let's say the virgin birth of Jesus, then that religious person, who has maybe a lot of credentials behind his name, presents the story of the Bible, and he says it contains much theological truth, but precious little historical fact. The account is unbelievable to modern thinking Christians. In other words, Christians long ago, they were so dumb, anything could have been pulled on them and they would accept. They were just gullible. But today, we're smarter than that. We don't believe in the ridiculous things like the virgin birth. And that story will likely be on the front page in the newspaper. And who will they get to give the, I think there was a column many years called Point and Counterpoint. And they would have two equal individuals and they'd be debating some particular topic. One out of 1,000 clovers that you pick will be a four-leaf clover. Oh, no, they won't. So they debate this point and counterpoint. But now something like this, who do they get to come on there and refute that? Nobody. And if they did, it'd be on page 16. Wouldn't be on the front page. So they don't give equal time to someone who could defend the integrity of the Bible. And people see this and they accept it without question, and it gives them more reason not to believe the Bible. You know, I've said for a long time, even on some of these talk shows where they have guests come and they want it to appear like here is a person who was educated in the highest seminaries of the land, and they're going to come and they're going to give a defense of the virgin birth because this PhD person over here has said that it's all fable and myth. And this highly educated person comes on there and he just muddles it up, and it ends up being really a big joke. And I've said for a long time, you know, what they need to do is they need to find some member of the church who's farmed all his life, but every day when he comes in from working, before he falls in the bed, he reads his Bible and he knows his Bible back and forth. That's the person you need to get to come on there and tell you what the truth really is, because that's the one who knows. He doesn't have to have a lot of PhD behind his name. He just has to love the Word of God. And that's the person that can defend it. And that ought to be an encouragement to you and I. Love the Word of God, and we can go anywhere in the world and be confident in our ability to talk to people about the Holy Scriptures, because we know. We know where to find the passages. We're familiar with our own Bibles. We know what they say and what they teach. So media contributes to secularism by painting a good picture of sinful people and by putting those with biblical convictions in a bad light. And this is especially true when it comes to issues that are being debated hotly in our country today, like abortion or homosexuality. In the news media, abortionists and homosexuals are pictured as good, compassionate people. They wouldn't hurt a fly. Everyone needs to love them and accept them in their churches because Jesus taught love and mercy. And those who oppose homosexuality and the murder of babies before they're born through abortion are pictured as mean, and they're unkind. They're not even Christians because they're unloving. They're radical. They're right-wing extremists. They're religious fanatics who don't know up from down. It's crazy, isn't it? That's our media. And that's what's affecting our children as we try to raise them righteously in this world. But recall that Isaiah wrote, "Woe to those who call good evil and evil good." In Isaiah 5 and verse 20, that's exactly what's happening today. And that's exactly what's happening with our media. Christians need to remember that our thinking must not be shaped by men. We must not let other institutions shape our thinking for us. We shouldn't let these news outlets shape our thinking for us, or any talk shows, or any discussions like that. The Word of God shapes our thinking for us. And the Word of God we hear in our own Bible classes and from our own pulpit, where we freely examine everything that is said in light of what God has said in His Word. That's very important. As we pointed out, heart control, that's our discipline. That helps us to navigate through the treacherous waters that we face in our society because of the influences of the media. Watch over your heart with all diligence. Beware. Be careful. Notice the hazards. Notice the dangers and avoid them. Our young people are faced with so much. We need to help them. They're faced with bad language everywhere they turn. Their classmates at school use horrible language sometimes. And the the days in the past where they were punished for talking that way are long gone. They say whatever they want to say now, and it's horrible. Proverbs 4 and verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Using bad language is terrible. Taking God's name is terrible. No matter how you try to soften it up, it's terrible to take God's name in vain. Even if you do not associate with people who curse, the media is coming at you all the time. And they're using whatever language they want to. They're having an influence on all of us. So we have to learn how to control our heart. To start with, James 3 and verse 2, if anyone doesn't stumble in what he says, you know, James is writing about an ideal right there, a perfect ideal. If you don't stumble in what you say, you guard every word. Words don't, whoops, slip out of your mouth because of who you've been hanging around. You know, that shows a person who's diligently worked on something in their own life, doesn't it? Because that's not very automatic. And the influence of our society puts us in a bad way sometimes. If a man doesn't stumble in what he says, James says, there's your perfect man right there. He's able to bridle the whole body. He's able to control everything about his life. He can control his lips. That's the pinnacle of self-control, isn't it? Controlling what we say. Our young people are being taken over by the wrong kind of desires. Lusts. Strong desire of any kind, of good or evil, is the word lust. But we point out in this lesson that we're talking about evil desires that the media is throwing at us all the time. Let your eyes look directly ahead of you and your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. As we noticed from our study of Proverbs, even commercials contain strong sexual suggestions. What in the world does a scantily clad female, what business does she have trying to advertise shock absorbers on an automobile? Chances are she doesn't even know they're a part of an automobile when she's hired to do that. Do you think, really? Pay attention to what you see. Control the heart, because that's where you control your thinking. And that means there are things that you ought not see, that you ought to keep your eyes from, that we ought to be like Job. I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm not going to look at that. Sexual permissiveness, 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. This is the will of God for your sanctification. This is God's will, that you be set apart. What does it say? That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality. And in order to do that, you have to block off every temptation that comes your way, because the devil's trying to destroy you with that. That each of you know how to possess his own vessel, his physical body, in sanctification and honor, being set apart for holy purposes with God. An honor that people would expect to see out of someone who claims to live righteously. Not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God. You see people walking around and they'll follow every lustful passion they have. They're in trouble all the time. They're involved in sexual immorality every chance they get. What do we know about them? They don't know God. They do not know God. That's exactly what Paul told the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 5. They don't know who God is. If they knew God, they would fear God. And they would fear Him to the extent that they would exercise control over their personal lives. And it would be something they would become dedicated to because they feared God. They don't know who God is. Do we know who God is? Covetousness is a problem that our young people are affected with by media, too. Luke 12:15, remember, Jesus said, be on your guard against every form of greed, whatever form it takes. You don't want to be wrapped up in possessions and in the love of possessions and the love of wealth such that you become greedy for it. and you'll commit sin against other people in order to get what they have. Don't do that. Don't do that, Jesus says. Because even if you collect all of that, and you become one of the wealthiest people in the world, what does that mean as far as your standing to God is concerned? Jesus said, your life doesn't consist in your possessions. That's not how you measure the quality of your life. But the media that's coming our way is encouraging us to love material wealth, isn't it? And to judge ourselves on the basis of things that we possess. Doesn't it? And vicarious living, what in the world do you mean by that, friend? It's when you portray things in your mind, and you do things in your mind, and you use your mind to daydream about things all the time, or fantasize about how wonderful it would be if, and you spend a lot of time doing this because you're blessed with some creativity and some imagination by our Creator. You just get in the habit of using it in the wrong way, and one of the forces encouraging you to do that is media. Plots and movies. Some of the greatest Western movies that have ever been made are centered around the theme of taking revenge for a horrible wrong done to you or your family members. Right? And what message is that sending? When we get excited and we start pulling for people and we start advocating that, yeah, you need to rub that person out because he killed all your family. And what do we become when we're influenced by the media in that way? So there's the plot of revenge. Or when you commit a crime, conceal it, hide it. Don't ever confess it to anybody. And what if you commit a murder, a rape, or a robbery, or drug use? And the media is manipulating our emotions to the point where we start having sympathy for all the people that have committed sins against God and no sympathy for those who have resisted temptations. Check yourself and see if that's not what the media is presenting to us. And should we mention video games where they become very violent expressions of hatred and putting your enemies to death and it's just play like. Yeah, well, play and have a good time, but you've got to be careful about those influences and how they influence your thinking and your imagination and what sympathies they generate in you. Matthew 5:28. Remember that Jesus said that everyone that looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. See, it's important for us to control our hearts with the right discipline. Proverbs 4, beginning in verse 26, watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Ephesians 5:3-4, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you. What is he saying? Now don't talk about these things. No. He's saying those things should not be a part of anyone's life in the body of Christ. What things? Impurity, greed, immorality. It's not proper for saints, and there must be no filthiness and no silly talk or coarse jesting which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. In verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them. You will become a partaker with them if you allow the influences of what's being thrown in our faces from the world to take hold of you, and you don't control with discipline your own heart. It's dangerous. Well, if we become secularized, this is what we're saying, if we become secularized, overcome by Media secularization being thrown at us all the time is because we allow it to control us. It's because we don't put up the barriers. We don't raise the shield. We don't guard ourselves against it. We become ignorant of its influences. We ignore them or don't know about them or don't care to know about them because we're having a good time. No, we've got to know about these things. What should we do? Because Paul said, we're not mastered by anything. We don't let anything grab hold of us and be our master. We have one master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we serve Him. And so, how do we be successful? In the first place, measure your media time. You know, there's a gospel preacher that did a study among the members of his own church. And he gave them a survey to fill out. He said, just be truthful with your answers, of course, about the media influence. And he found out that Christians, the ones he was surveying, on the average of 23 and a half hours per week was the time they spent on media. Of course, this was several years ago before everybody had the pocket cell phone. The time's probably drastically increased since then, but if you think about it, 23.5 hours per week. And when he told the results of the survey to the congregation, everyone, just about 95% of the people, were surprised about that. They didn't think it was that much. And so when you look at 23 and a half hours in a week's time spent with television, newspaper, magazine, whatever, however it's coming at you, and then you think, how many hours a week do I spend in the assembly with God's people in Bible class or worship? Or? Do you see any kind of unbalanced difference there? I do. Which has the greatest effect on you? If you're looking at it in terms of time that you spend. So measure your media time. Find out for yourself. Don't take anybody's word when they say, take the word of your parents, but when they say you're spending too much time with media. But do your own check. Measure yourself. So measure your own time. And think about this. You've got to think. What kind of effect does it have on me? What kind of effect does it have on my thinking and those around me? Does it make me better spiritually? Does it encourage me more to be righteous? Or does it make me weaker spiritually? People are influenced in how they think about issues due to the selective nature of what media is throwing at them. The devil behind this, you think he's going to encourage us to think spiritually about things? No, I don't think so. Most adults will agree that media is more immoral today than it was in the past, but yet our young people are spending more and more time with it. Does that present a danger? You figure it out. Does it present a danger? Most will agree that they tolerate things today that they would not have tolerated a few years ago. What's changed? Not God's Word, right? So consider the effect that media has on you and think in terms of what kind of message is being sent. Is there a religious message in something that's being sent? Is there an anti-religious or anti-biblical message in something that's being sent? Is what is being sent to you promoting evolution as to how we got here rather than creation? Is it promoting some kind of philosophies that are at work in the world to overthrow our faith in God? What about professional football? What kind of message is being sent? You've got to think about it. The preacher's not saying don't ever watch a football game. But think, what's being presented to you in the advertising, in the activities on the sideline, and, you know, during the singing of the national anthem. Think about the messages that are being sent to you. Give a little time doing that. What kind of statements being made? Because mass media does play a significant role in shaping our thinking. Ask what to do, what to think about that message. What do you think about writers and producers who would use a sexual message to get me to buy parts for my automobile? What would you think about them if they do that? Or they take their clothes off to get me to buy their soft drink. What do you think about that? What do you think about those methods to get people to buy their products? I'm just asking you, what do you think about it? When I find myself cheering for the hero who murders the bad guys and succeeds at a sexual conquest, what do I think about that? Do I find myself being sympathetic with that? So know your own reaction. Be alert to your own reaction. It tells you something about yourself, doesn't it? If we do not think about the message, then it'll have a subtle effect on us and we won't see it. It'll be hidden from us. And so we'll gradually sink away and we'll allow that to corrupt our thinking. You think about the message and react to it so that it does not have a deep negative effect to you, you'd be a lot better off. Could we say this? Be angry about some of the things that come at us through the media, about messages that come our way that contain error or false doctrine. Is it okay to become angry at those? You know, we're not supposed to let the sun go down on our wrath. We shouldn't be angry. Is that true? We should never be angry about anything? Why does Psalm 119, verse 104, or verse 128 say something like, I hate every false way? God said that. I hate every false way. Should we not hate every false way? We're going to be in harmony with God. I think we should. The first cleansing of the temple in John 2, 13 through 22. Jesus made a scourge of cords and drove them out of the temple. You think he was angry? He was most definitely angry. And the second cleansing of the temple that the gospel writers write about. Was he angry? Yes, he most certainly was. But it was a righteous anger. Notice the example of Lot. In 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8, if he rescued righteous Lot, oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men, that's another way of saying that he was distressed and opposed by the media that was going on in his day. Maybe we could say it that way. Oppressed by the sensual conduct of unprincipled men. These men didn't have righteous principles. So they acted with sensuousness. They were lascivious. They were sexually immoral. For by what he saw and heard, that righteous man, while living among them, felt his righteous soul tormented day after day by their lawless deeds. What bothered him? What other people were doing? And the way they were thinking when they tried to justify themselves for doing it. Media's message to us today is you shouldn't be down on homosexuals. You should love them and accept them. Let them be members of your church and receive them so that they can have good standing. We want to offer hope to the homosexual, but we're upset with the seriousness of their sin because God calls it abomination. We want them to repent. What else can we do? We can reduce our media time by reacting to it, remembering Ephesians 5 and verse 16, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. That's good advice. Fast forward through those commercials. Right? Learn to speak up. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness in Ephesians 5, verse 11, but instead even expose them. Speak up for righteousness. You don't have to be presumptuous and cocky and tell all your people they're talking about something they saw on the television, and you say, you shouldn't watch that. You know, not that you don't want to send a message that they shouldn't watch it, but maybe you shouldn't say it in that way and be very happy about it, because that turns them off. You won't do much good. But use a statement that causes people to think. Do you realize that there's a message being sent to you that you may not want to accept? That'd be a lot better than, you need to quit watching that, it sends you straight to hell. Be careful what you say to other people. You want to be effective with them. Well, these are some of the things that we're talking about in our Bible class, and these are some of the things we're concerned about with our children, and we're concerned about with ourselves, because this is the kind of society that we live in. You can control your heart and life. Take the steps that you know will lead you in the right direction. You can live as a Christian, and there's very much great power in walking in the light. And you will have an influence and a power on other people for good. You can do it. So many people have done it. Many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Many people responded to that. That appeal by the apostles of Christ to be saved from the perverse generation. Be careful with media. It'll take you down if you allow it to. Overcome, and overcome by the power of Christ. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we wouldn't want you to do anything other than what the apostles taught people to do in order to be saved from the consequences of their own personal sins. Hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come to believe that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. Repent of your past sins. Have the moral courage to confess Christ before men. If your faith is strong enough that you repent of your sins, you'll be strong enough to do that too. Be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, as dear sweet Alex did on Wednesday night. Be faithful all the days of your life. Learn of dangers. Beware of dangers and hazards. Take the steps to not let them destroy your faith and make you fall away from God. Be faithful to him, and he will give you the crown of life. It's a promise from heaven, and I believe what God has said, don't you? If you're subject to invitation and we can help you tonight, please come and let us know while together we stand and sing the invitation song that Brother Tim will lead us in.